All right, I'm gonna redirect my question and ask you. I think we could do this now. I'm gonna ask you to speak with Stephanie. She's here now. She's listening, of course. But reach out to the rest of the network. You know, in this time of distress, the network needs to reach out to its constituents, its components. Other stations, you know, one station, each one reach one, each one teach one, whatever. We need to reach out and get what we need as far as is possible from the other stations. And I'm pretty sure if you reach out and if you get connected with the right people, we can get an immediate response there to get you into live broadcasting, you know, from home, from, you know, not live in a studio, but we can get a live setup going where you can recreate, you know, restore that feel of live radio, which is apparently very critical to fundraising.
Well, so, thank you. I'll make this comment. Certainly, I am very much well aware of, you know, live versus canned type of a programming. We have, before this conversation, reached out to our sister station in Berkeley, and we do have a software package that we feel that will integrate nicely with what we are doing at KPFT that will allow us to do some limited live broadcasting. We are working on the limitations of that because, again, we have a very small staff. And to do what some have suggested, that having every program alive is somewhat limiting. So we're working around the edges to determine what's going to work best for us with our particular staff restraints and constraints here.
Understood. Yeah, I know you need board ops for that. And I appreciate your answer. That's good. Are there any other questions? Julia, would you like to run us through any more of the specifics, the line items in the budget?
No, I don't think so. I think my main question really is, what is the one thing that it's other? Obviously, we know the building. We need to get things going right with that. But what is the one thing that you need at KPFT that you feel like is something that could be gotten if we helped you, if Stephanie could make it happen or the board could make it happen? Is there anything, like you said, I think that software where you're talking about KPFA, you know, is there any one thing, I guess, if it's related to that programming piece, like you said, there's issues with where the programmers are housed and they have different access to technology. So is there one thing that you're thinking that could at least get you on the path to sort of piecing it together between now and the time you can get into a building?
I think if we could get one thing, I think if we could, our contracted membership person can only work one day. If we could find four more days to have her employed, I think that would really help us in all of the areas of concern, of strategic concern. That would empower us to be able to be more aggressive in terms of the outreach opportunities that we could initiate that would result in support, financial support, short term and long term. That would be the one thing that would be the silver bullet of sorts that would help us immediately.
And do you think that, you know, obviously I know it's hard to say, oh, it's added staff, you know, even if it was more than a day, just, you know, even if we could take baby steps to getting there, to building that up a couple of days. I'm not saying we could do that, but I feel like we've got to get that stuff out there. And you know what? That's probably not what I would have thought you would have said, but it makes complete sense. How are you going to put on some of these micro events and do some of the things that you're talking about if you don't have you know, people to help you, other than if you have volunteers, and I don't know to what degree you have some volunteers that could help with that as well. But
and that would also move, and that would also move us closer to CPB certification, to have you know, a full time staff of about 4 or 5 people, short term and long term.
Okay, thank you.
I'm going to interject myself into this conversation because that Julius just stole my question, but I'm going to ask it again anyway to get perhaps a little more understanding. To what extent do you perceive that you have volunteers out there? Are there people who would volunteer to be a board op for a certain period? I know it's hard to rely on people who aren't getting paid to show up at a given time on a regular basis. But are there volunteers available that could do some of this, or and are you aware of it? And are you working with your board and your community to seek that out?
An emphatic yes. I have been in radio long enough to understand that one person can't do it all. I have, as I mentioned earlier, I reached out to Professor Allison Leland, who is in the community. I have visited this Houston community for many years. I'm reaching out to those individuals on the board, outside the board, in the communities, in diverse communities, soliciting their particular participation. So yes, yes, and yes, in terms of outreaching, realizing that to the extent that we're able to have programmers on the air now. Some of the programmers are from the community. Some of the programmers are doing excellent work, and they're doing very credible work for the station. So, yes, I believe in collaboration, and I know that no man or woman can do it all, and I don't plan to be a superman. I plan to be a super collaborator and bring as many people who are willing and want to be a part of this family together. Thank you.
Well, thank you for that, and I want to say something about Superman, but I can't think of anything at the moment. I want to well, first I'll ask if anybody else has any other questions, and then I'm going to say no pressure, but I know Stephanie was on the call earlier. I just want to ask her in particular if she has any questions or any thoughts, but honestly, no pressure. If you don't, no worry.
Hi. No, I don't. I mean, I've had a great conversation with Dr. Franklin in the past, and we talked about, you know, reaching out to local businesses, and he does have a grasp on the community, that's for sure. And he does quite a bit of outreach, and the community does, you know, they're anxiously awaiting and for, you know, a full station. And I think that he's 100% capable of getting that community support. I know that we're trying to move as much as we can with trying to find a building and working with different realtors and trying to do what we can to move that process forward, but it is a lengthy process. But, yeah, I will definitely reach out again, and we can just kind of brainstorm on how I can help him with these micro events and bring the station where it needs to be. But I know he's more than capable of doing that.
Thank you, Stephanie. I'm going to ask you a question myself, and I'm going to ask Julia the same question. And again, no pressure. You know, when somebody says that, they're lying, right? But and maybe I should ask Julia first. We understand this is a deficit budget, and it's difficult, and, you know, we already had a deficit budget, and we're going to have another deficit budget, at least one, if not more. Julia, are you comfortable with the NFC approving this budget as is, so that we can move on to the next situation? We've been dealing with the difficult ones first, so we can get on to the next situation. Are you okay with this as is?
Well, I mean, define okay, I guess.
I'm sure that's an unfair question. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, but it's fine. No, I'm not okay with it, but it's right now, this is what it is. And, you know, Markeisha could make the numbers look better, and people would see through that, and it would still, it would not get passed. So I think that this is a more realistic budget. Of course, it's going to have some months where it makes it and some months where it doesn't. But I think the fact is that we have a larger global problem with the organization, and that we need to know when we approve these budgets. Again, that's just checking a box on a to-do list, approving the budget. We have to have some actual change we're in a serious cash crunch. You know,
thank you.
Markeisha might have money today to cut payroll for this week, but as she said, and I don't think this should be any secret, I think we're at a point where everybody needs to understand she's able to, KPFT is able to make payroll this week, from my understanding, because they are not paying something else. And we have that situation in multiple units where something is being paid at the expense of something else not getting paid. And at some point, you know, that's not going to fly. You can only do that for so long. You know, we've seen it with other stations where you have accounts payable that builds up because you're trying to save funds for payroll, and then you have these, you know, services getting cut off. I'm not sure, you know, where we're going to go with that.
Understood, and that's exactly what I hoped and expected that you would say. And Stephanie, now I'm going to give you the opportunity to put ditto marks on that or whatever else you want to do.
No, I completely agree. Julie and I have talked about this multiple times, if not almost daily.
I know.
I appreciate the fact that the stations are putting out realistic budgets and that they are not just putting out a balanced budget, because that's what, you know, is assumed should happen. You know, you hope, I think all of it adds up. You know, I mean, just exactly what Julia said. It's one thing to look at a budget, know it's in a deficit, but we also have to treat these budgets as living documents. They have to continually be looked at we look at it at this group. We say, okay, we've checked that to-do box, as Julia said, and that's done. But no, I mean, we really do have to keep massaging these budgets on a very continuous basis, because I'm not too sure if that has happened in the past, which has then possibly put us in the position where we are, because when we do add up all these deficits, it is quite big, and, you know, so many bills aren't getting paid just so payroll can be made. And, you know, then with some of these bills, I mean, the archives, for example, for the first time ever, struggling to try to make payroll. Not too sure if they're going to make it either, because they're not getting central service dollars. So it's kind of spiraling in a way that we do have to take a very serious look at the overall impact and realistically look forward as to what has to be done. And it might not be a pretty picture, but there's decisions that need to be made so we can kind of stop this bleeding.
Couldn't agree more. Did you have anything else, Stephanie?
No.
I think that's an excellent analysis, and I appreciate it, especially you've been here a short time and you zeroed in immediately on our critical problems. I appreciate that. Any other questions? Any other comments?
Chris,
go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, just a quick question to Stephanie. I don't recall from the interviewing process whether you answered any questions about how much experience you have putting out of balance budgets in order. So if you did answer that question, forgive me. And if you didn't, would you be so kind as to, or even if you did, and I can't recall it, could you answer that question now? Thank you.
Well, I mean, as far as putting out of balance budgets in order, I've always been with organizations or managed organizations where we're looking at budgets well in advance of the start of the fiscal year, so we can kind of focus on some of those problems before our year even starts. And then we look at the budget, depending upon how out of balance it may be, every month, or I was with an organization, we did it every 2 weeks, where we were projecting out 2 to 3 months so we could try to figure out what those problems would be prior to then having those problems right on top of us. You can cut and cut and cut so much. It really just varies upon each organization. I mean, I don't know how much more we can realistically cut at some of these stations, because it does become just a catch 22. And yeah, we need to increase revenue. I don't think that, you know, there isn't this miracle cure out there, but each individual station, we're going to have to really focus on what's best for that station to bring in revenue. Things aren't going to balance overnight. Mm-hmm.
If you'll forgive me for interrupting you, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I was actually trying to ask something far more general than that, and that's how much experience you had personally in putting these things in order. I understand. I don't want you to get off in the weeds with the specifics, and I understand that it's going to be difficult, and I understand that all these stations, especially the ones that are in distress, are going to have trouble bringing those things into focus and into order. What I was just specifically asking you is how much experience you personally had with doing that. That's it. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Yes, I have had experience, particularly with the YMCAs. I was pretty much sent by the national offices at the YMCA to go to local branches that were having problems and just kind of sit down with them and have a, you know, come to Jesus moment, where it was, where do you want to go with this branch? Where do you want to, you know, what do you really want to focus on? Are you spreading yourself too thin? And what do we need to do to get there?
Thank you.
So
that's perfect. Thank you. Thank you. That's exactly what I was looking for. Thank you.
This is the chair. I have a question myself, but I'm going to ask if anyone else has a question first. Hearing none, we'll come back to that. But I just, Stephanie, I want to ask, one of the things that was in your resume was grant writing, and or not grant writing necessarily, that you're a grant writer, but that you had experience with obtaining grants. And I'm wondering where we are with that, and, you know, if that's still a viable opportunity. I understand it's hard to get grants for, you know, organizations that have going concerns in their audits. So I'll just ask, what about grants? Where, you know, and I have a follow-up question.
Well, I have looked at some foundations, I have talked to some foundations, and I've also talked to some individual donors. The issue that we have with foundations is that on paper, fiscally, we don't look good, and we haven't had a history of good fiscal management. So it's very difficult, even if I have a good relationship, to try to convince them that we will not repeat ourselves in our fiscal behavior moving forward. Yes, we've done great steps to try to get, you know, we've gotten our audits done, but when you take a close look and read the audits, just getting them done doesn't mean anything. I mean, when you look at the audits and read them, you can see that it's not, you know, highly recommended with our fiscal management. So a lot of foundations are somewhat hesitant when they're trying to pitch it to their board to convince them that we are a good return on investment for any money that they give to us. So I've then tried to focus on individual donors, where it's a little bit easier to try to talk to a person to say, you know what, yeah, we are in a fiscal crunch. We're trying to get ourselves out of it. We need an influx of cash in order to do that. Do you support what we do and support the mission? So I think, you know, but again, with individual donors, there's a lot of stewardship, there's a lot of meetings, there's a lot of guaranteeing that, you know, we're going to use their money wisely. So, yes, there's a possibility for grants, but, you know, fiscally, we just don't look great on paper. each individual station, because the nonprofit status is through the Pacifica Foundation. So when you're applying for grants, you can't just put in the budget of the one station that is doing well. They need to see the papers and the financials for the overall nonprofit. So they need to take a look at everything. It's not just, you know, we can, and that's happened with the archives. They've had an opportunity to apply for two grants that were, both of them, I think, each maybe a minimum of $50,000, but they were declined because of the overall fiscal health of the organization. Even though their budget was good, the overall health of the organization was not.
Thank you for that. I appreciate that. I'm going to go to my follow-up question, then I'll ask if there's any other questions. My follow-up question is, I've said this before, so forgive me if those of you have heard it. One thing that turnaround people say, people who go into businesses and industries where there's difficulty, they need to turn it around. They say, focus on your core business. And so our core business is kind of on-air fundraising. And so my question is, what's your opinion? I've asked you this several times before, and I apologize for again, but I want other people to hear your response here. The idea that, you know, okay, fundraising is our core, fundraising on the air is our core business, and how can we improve that? And one, there's two things. One thing I see is that we have sustaining members who are quite loyal, but at least at WBAI, we lose about a third of them every year. And is there some way we can harness the enormous affection that is out there for the network, enormous energy of our members, our core members, who are willing to come in and volunteer and do something? Is there some way we can harness that to call the other people, the other core members who have been sustaining members and have lapsed, you know, sometimes through, you know, no fault of their own, they just weren't paying attention, the credit card changed, whatever. Make some contact with them. I understand from, I don't know if it's Charity Navigator, I don't forget where I got this, but if, all you have to do is reach out to your listeners and contact them and say thank you, and your donations go up like some large, you know, 20% or something like that. And the other aspect of that would be, our again, our core business. We have five stations. Each of those stations has some programs that are doing well, and they do bring in funds. They do bring, you know, generate donations. And to some extent, we share those programs across the stations, but in other cases, we don't. And then we have some programs at stations which have no audience and no listeners, where we might be able to insert a program that's been successful from another station and generate some income. And I know community radio is based on local content, and that's very important. But in this time of crisis, could we possibly get some cross-fertilization going with sharing these programs across the network, inserting them, and I mean forcefully inserting them where necessary, to try to generate some funds? And even at in locations where there's, you know, even at night or early morning, somewhere insert programs that are working elsewhere and just see if we have any luck with that. Any thoughts?
Yes, we're definitely doing that at KPFK right now. We're completely looking at, we're meeting every once a week with key staff, people that have kind of been serving as a ad hoc programming group for the last 6 to 8 months. We're pulling in as many programmers and staff members and volunteers as possible to kind of look at the lineup every single week, determine what's going to work, what's not going to work, mixing things up, throwing in some programs that have raised money from other stations, making sure that we're editing out any sort of pitch or ask from those other stations, and adding just a cart that, you know, recognizes that this may be from another station, thanking them for that, but then also reminding people, you know, to support the local station. I mean, I think Markeisha had it right when she was saying that there's multiple times throughout the day which, I mean, I understand the fund drives. Again, I'm new to radio, but I don't really understand why we're not having carts and we're creating these at KPFK that we can just plug in every hour where people are saying, you know, you like what you're listening to, you've got, you know, continue with this programming by making a donation. And just throwing in those little bits of reminding people that this is, you know, publicly, this, we couldn't be on the air without support from people like you. But it's just as important when we're asking for donations for stewardship. So every time we sit there and we ask somebody, do you like what you're listening to? Make a donation. Make sure that we have a card coming up that says, thank you for supporting this station. And sometimes just by saying, not sometimes, but always, I mean, when you're saying thank you to somebody, it's like, you know what? Oh, well, they're thanking their donors. Maybe I should make a donation as well. So even nice stewardship, thank you, touch points can bring in donations as well. So, I mean, I know at KPFK, because it is, you know, emergency basically, is that we are looking to shake up the lineup a little bit as much as we can and try to pull out those shows that are only bringing in, I mean, you know, $5, and I'm not exaggerating, and putting something else in that time slot.
I want to thank you for that answer. It took me a long time to learn some of the things you just said, much longer than you've been around, to absorb that. I think that's quite accurate. I'm just going to add one other
Could I ask a follow-up on that same, on that same topic?
Could we get a stack?
Yeah, who was, I heard two people.
Stack.
Who is it?
McFadden stack.
Yes, and is it Arpaul? Mac or McFadden? McFadden, okay, and Arpaul. Go ahead. McFadden.
Yes. I just, you know, I really like that idea of, you know, doing those kind of, and I'm wondering if part of that, and this is just for my own education, it's part of that, like calling out the community. So if there's a particular community, you know, that you can not just an individual, but call out communities that, this community has been doing their share and we really appreciate that. Those are the kind of things people identify with. And so I wonder if there's other kind of subtle ways to encourage people by announcing who's donating and things that people would connect to, you know, especially organizations or other communities.
Yeah, that's a smart, I mean, that's a very smart idea. I mean, it would be very fun too. I mean, I don't know, to get even like to some local high schools, and you've got your local, you know, who knows, communications team or their local, I know when one of my children were in high school, they had television and radio stations way back into when she started getting involved in that in junior high. She's in college now. But it would be nice to be able to have, you know, like a local high school say, this is so-and-so from Upland High, and, you know, we listen to KPFK, that kind of thing, to really just get the community more involved in the voice of the station. No, I think that's a good idea.
Back to you, McFadden. Did you have any other thing? Anything else?
It was just occurring to me as I was listening to that, because I think that's, you know, connecting to the community through those thank yous is I think a good way to do it.
That's what we do. Arpaul?
Yeah, I have to disagree with you about the core. Our core deal isn't pitching. That's something we do after the core happens. Our core is doing radio, because we're a radio network, is doing radio and communicating things to people. That is our core. Now, the other stuff is what we can do later on and try to say, hey, all of this was nice, so why don't you try and help us out here? But we have to pay most attention to the fact that we need to communicate. And there's a lot in that word, communicate. We have to communicate, I won't get into the whole thing. That could take forever. But we have to understand that the core business is doing radio per se. And the raising of money is after that. It's not our core business to raise money. And I think it's important to be rather precise about that. Thank you.
All right, I'm going to take the privilege to respond just briefly and say that that is what I was trying to get at, Arpaul. I was trying to say focus on your core business, and that is programming, which then produces theoretically the revenue that you need to support a radio station. And that's where the suggestion to combine programming, take programs that are successful at one station and share them across the network. It's to give quality programming where appropriate in appropriate communities that can be shared across the network and, you know, possibly boost our total revenue. So, yeah, I agree with what Arpal just said completely. We are now at 10:08 p.m., so we're coming up on our time certain. Is there anybody else who has any other questions about, let's refocus on the Texas, the KPFT fiscal year 22 budget? So now I think, if hearing none, I want to say I think we need a motion now to the effect of the National Finance Committee recommends to the PNB that they approve the fiscal year 22 KPFT budget.
How about that the NFC recommended to PNB that they approve the proposed KPFT FY22 budget, comma, recognizing that it remains a deficit budget, which is what we've done before. And
Correct.
This is also the same thing.
I certainly agree with that. Is there any, we don't need a second. Any other discussion? Okay, going with the Secretary's iteration of the motion, is there any discussion?
I'm making that your motion in minutes.
That's fine. That's okay. Whatever. Is there any objection?
This is Kim. I'd like to be on the record as abstaining.
That's fine. Understood. Actually, really understood. I understand. Anyone else?
Understand, Mr.
Go ahead,
Chair. Paul. If we're going to have somebody abstain, we have to have a vote.
We have to have
and
a vote.
Also,
okay.
Also, I will point out that the record in the minutes doesn't show who voted how. It'll just show that there was an abstention. So just so everybody realizes that.
Forgive me for this, Arpal. Hold on. I want to ask Arpal's forgiveness and everyone else's forgiveness. But there are some places in this network during these kinds of meetings where people say if there's one objection, it doesn't matter. We go ahead and it's approved. Can you elucidate on that controversy, Arpal?
The phrase is passed without objection. That means there's no objection. Now, if somebody says they want to abstain, is that an objection or not? Well, you know, now you're debating something. So if somebody wants to abstain, we should have a vote. That way they can actually abstain and there's no, gosh, I wonder what happened there.
Well, actually, in some of the other stations, one person objects and they say, well, it's only one, so therefore it's okay.
Yeah,
is that?
Yeah.
That's to the staff.
And that's a terrible way to do things.
I was thinking you might say that. Go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. I put that very question to our parliamentarian, John Tatum, and because that's what I had been taught. I understood it to be peculiar to Pacifica. I had never encountered that anywhere else. And when I asked him, he said, no, that's not a thing. He recognized that he's seen it done here, but he said that's not consistent with Robert's rule.
So if there's an abstention or an objection, we go to a vote.
Right.
Thank you. I think that's what Arpal was saying. And just to be correct and safe or, you know, not have any question, let's go to a vote, Arpal. Thank you.
Okay, so we're going to the vote now?
Yes, please.
Okay, let me put that in there and this in here. Okay, the motion is that the NFC recommended to PNB that they approve the proposed KPFT FY22 budget, comma, recognizing that it remains a deficit budget. Please answer up when you hear your name. Nick Arena, Chris Corey.
Abstain.
Elizabeth Von Gunten.
Yes.
Julie Hewitt.
Yes.
That was a yes?
Yes.
Okay. Kim Kaufman?
Abstain.
Julia Kennard? Julia
Abstain.
Kennard? Abstain? Abstain. R. Paul Martin, yes. James McFadden?
Yes.
Sean Kelly McPherson?
Yes.
James Sagerton?
Yes.
Susan Young?
Yes.
7-4, 0 against, 3 abstentions.
Thank you, R. Paul. Now, we are very close to time certain. We have one other item on the agenda. I think we need to entertain a motion to extend if we're going to do that. Would anyone like to extend to consider the motion not only updating Pacifica transaction limits, but also a brief conversation about budget timelines for the future budgets?
Sounds like 15 to me, James.
Sounds like 15. Is that a motion, Chris?
Yes, it is.
Thank you. Is there any objection? 15, R. Paul. Any objection to extending for 15? Hearing none, we'll go ahead then. So now we have the motion updating Pacifica transaction limits. This is based on the original motion from Beth Von Gunten, which has been postponed. It was postponed to this meeting. Beth, do you want to make a presentation?
This is Kim. May I be recognized, please?
Well, let me hear from Beth first. I asked her a direct question. Let me just see what she wants to do.
I'm willing to do it now or to postpone it at the pleasure of the committee. I'm ready now, or we can wait.
Okay. Kim?
Is there a new motion? Is there new language that we're going to be discussing?
Yes.
Can we see it?
I sent it out before the meeting. I can send it again if you'd like.
I did not see it.
I sent it to the NFC list, and I got my copy back over the NFC list. But I'm happy to send it to you again if you'd like, Kim.
Please do. I did not get it either.
James, may I have a follow-up?
Go ahead, Kim.
I move to postpone this until next meeting so I can read this before we start deliberating on it. I mean, you know, this
That's
is
fine.
Sort of a complex issue, and I think we have, you know, the courtesy of being able to review a motion like this sometime before, you know, a meeting, like a couple hours, maybe 24 hours. So, yes, I move to postpone until next meeting.
Okay, just for by way of information, and I appreciate your motion, Kim, and this is not meant as a contrary argument, but I want to just read from our announcements at the head of our agenda. The monthly financials and other significant materials are simultaneously copied to the NFC, the IED, PNB officers, and the GMs. Please review them before NFC meetings and be ready to discuss and ask questions if you wish. And I say that understanding that this came fairly late. And person who's been fairly late with agendas and other such items, understand. Go ahead, Kim.
Point of order. I believe. I'm sorry,
Kim. I did hear Beth first. I'm so sorry.
But this is not debatable or, you know, it has to take precedence.
I'm sorry, what's not debatable? Oh, yes. Move
to
postpone is not debatable. Right, right, right. Okay. Okay. I'm just going to ask Arpal. I believe that's correct.
No, Arpal is correct. It is debatable, I guess, but it has to take precedence. Correct, Arpal?
Yes. Yeah, that's clear. Arpal?
Oh, yes,
I'm
obviously.
Happy to postpone.
Yeah.
I'm not going to
fight
anybody on this. I'm happy to postpone. It's not a problem.
Okay.
I would like to point out, well, first I'd like to ask, were there other people who didn't get it? I sent it to the NFC list. Maybe I should start at the other end. Were there other people who did get it?
Back on the stack.
What time did you send it?
Yeah.
I have something from you.
Hold on, Arpal and everybody in Mac. Just hold on. Let's get re-control of this. So there was a motion. There was a now I'm kind of losing where we are, and I don't want to just devolve into back and forth. There was a motion. Then there was a move to postpone. And that's not debatable, but we can discuss. Is that correct, Arpal?
Mr. Chair, in the first place, I never heard a motion hit the floor. I heard the motion to postpone it hit the floor.
I didn't hear the
actual motion per se hit the floor, and I'm looking for it now in my email.
It went out just after 5.
There was an email that said motion, we want to have a motion, but it wasn't actually on the agenda. Oh, it says motion updating Pacifica transaction limits. So I guess that's on the agenda.
Okay. I have I'm not seeing it here. Let me get messages again.
Number 7 on the agenda.
Okay. No, I'm not talking about the agenda.
Not the agenda. I didn't get the email.
I'm talking about the email and the actual motion itself.
Okay, let me just talk over the conversation while you look at that for that, Arpal. I believe the person with the motion has agreed to postpone it till the next meeting, and so maybe we don't need to get into a...
Well, we need to have a motion to postpone. Otherwise, what do I put in the minutes? A vacancy and we're going to postpone it?
Understood.
Didn't I make that motion? Didn't I make that motion, Arpal?
Yes, Kim did make that motion.
Yes, she made a motion to postpone, but there was nothing on the floor.
There was no motion on the floor. All right, I hear Beth trying to say something. Go ahead, Beth.
I'm happy to postpone. It's not a problem to postpone. I'd rather have people have a chance to look at it and read it and consider it. And I'm still, as long as we're not deciding on it yet tonight, I'm still taking comment and criticism and input. I wanted to let people know that it's only taken a little more than 2 years to find that there actually was an existing policy out there that until the last week no one had been able to point me to. So I've included it at the base of the – I'll send this out. Maybe I should just send this to Arpal directly and let him send it to the NFC.
Hold on. Beth, send it to everyone, and since you're willing to accept the motion to postpone – and we will accept that you did. And why don't we say that we'll put this on the agenda for the next meeting, and then we'll vote on Kim's motion to postpone.
Wait, hold on. We have a little something. Let's see.
Right, because it wasn't on the floor to begin with. I understand.
No. We've got more than one thing going on here.
Okay.
And
go ahead.
It looks like. Did Julia
McFadden
Kennard forward this to the group?
Forward what?
Yeah. Okay, Julia Kennard has sent it to us, but...
I responded to Beth's email.
I don't think Julia...
Julia
did not send it. Julia responded.
All right. So Julia responded. On the other hand, I'm looking up here at these messages, and... one in my email, I don't have Elizabeth's thing here. I don't have her email with the motion. I have the response from Julia Kennard, but going to the website of this of IO groups there to look at it, I do not see, I do not see anything from Beth up here.
This is Beth again. I would like to request, maybe you, our Paul and I can put our heads together outside of the meeting to figure out. I don't think my email is working with the NFC group.
Uh-huh.
Well, I had problems with it last month. Remember, we did a little bit of adjustment, and I hadn't tried to use it again since then, but that was the way I sent it. I added a couple of people also who might not, I didn't know whether they were on that group or not, and Julia was one of the ones I added. But if she got it from the NFC, if she
responded. Okay, and you sent it today, right?
Just after 5. If outside of the meeting, I can send you what copies of what I sent so you can see. I did get back a message that it was undeliverable to somebody. I don't remember who. But I can send you what I've got and send you what I've heard from IO, and we can figure it out, and we don't need to hold up the rest of the committee.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
This is the chair. I want to say that that sounds like a plan to me, so as not to take up any more time here.
We can do that. We can do that. On the other hand,
you,
there's no motion on the floor that I could put in the minutes to postpone.
Okay, and there's no need to vote on postponer.
If we don't have
a motion,
yeah.
There's no postpone.
Correct. Okay.
Okay.
Could I say something on it before we go anywhere? Today,
course.
I've been doing a search in minutes, and I believe I don't have this whole thing done yet because I have email going back to 1996, and so I've done a gigantic look back, and I believe that the motion we're talking about this stuff came up at the NFC in November of 2011. So sometime not too long after that, it would have hit the PNB. But I'm not done searching yet. So I just wanted to say that.
Beth,
all right.
You want to give the date for what you have?
Yes, it's on the email that I sent. What was sent to me said referred to a resolution passed and passed in March of 2013 and then modified, amended at the next meeting, which I think that would be the final date, which was April 25th of 2013. And that there's a note to that effect at the where I've copied that older policy at the base of the what I sent, and evidently people didn't get. And Julia got it. You know, Julia can...
Okay.
The chair is going to make a comment here. The churn that we have due to our structure with new members always coming up, and unfortunately, there seeming to be no established way of looking at the policies that have been passed in the past. Besides, the only way to find them seems to be to go through years and years and years worth of minutes. So this is another example of where it would be good for us to get a compendium of our policies so that any new member or any member of the public could just come in and review this easily and simply and have us not be at the mercy of somebody saying, well, we had a motion or we had a resolution at such and such a date, and that's controlling, and nobody else having any idea whether that's actually reliable. So I hope, you know, that's just a suggestion that we can do that going forward.
Well, this is Kim, going backward, too.
I heard our Paul first and then Kim.
No, I was just saying that would be good if we had something like that, but also going backwards, because we have a whole lot of stuff that we've decided that people don't even know about. For instance, people don't know that you can't be excused from absences at PNB committee meetings. But, yes, that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Right, and our Paul, I was actually referring to going backward, not going forward. But, you know, either right now both would be good. Kim?
I suspect that this PNB motion came from a committee. Did it, Beth?
Yes, it was a. Let me look and see. Hang on, I'm looking at something else right now. It was refried. No, don't have it there. Hang on. I have it in my work notes. Previous motion from. It's a four-letter acronym, and it's a motion to some. Or it's, excuse me, it's a committee to update financial policies or something. A financial something. Yeah, they were looking to update financial policies.
What was the acronym?
I don't remember the name, but I'll send you the notes that were sent to me that refer to that. And it included attachments of the minutes from that time. So anybody else that wants that, I'd be happy to send that on to you. Maybe, or Paul, you might want that too, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I suspect it came from the FRAT committee.
Yeah, that sounds right. That sounds right.
Okay, this is the chair. I'm going to jump into this now and say that we're 1 minute from our time certain, or we're 1 minute from our extended time. And I just want to say I'd like to go on to number 8 and direct this at Julia. This is the budget timelines and schedule for NFC review of budgets for fiscal 22. Julia, where do you think we're going next in terms of a budget? I realize we've got audits, we've got financials, we've got CPB, we've got ancient central services formulas, not ancient, but, you know, we've got past central service formulas to look at. Where do you think we're going next in terms of a budget? Just if we can, to give a heads up to the station where we're going next, if possible. And I realize these things are minute by minute, and we don't know until we know.
Yeah, that's a complicated answer, because while I feel like KPFK is super critical, I feel like I need to have some conversations with Stephanie about that. Did I say I meant KPFK, not if I said KPFA?
No, you said A. You said K.
I meant K.
Yes, you did say K, I think. All right.
KPFA might be a little easier. But again, it's not as critical and critical of a place. So,
all right. So why don't we? It's not possible to answer just yet. We were working up until this afternoon on KPFT. So let's we'll figure it out when we do, and we'll put out a notice.
Hello, can I be recognized, please?
Go ahead. Let me see if I want to see if Julia had a response to what I said.
Well,
Julia?
We have our next meeting. I mean, we'll know within the next week or so.
Okay.
What the plan is with that.
So sufficient to say we'll when we put out the notice, or when we we'll discuss it and put out adequate notice. Good.
Well, I would assume it'll be a part of a regularly scheduled meeting.
Yes. Yes, in 2 weeks, or 3 weeks, whatever it is. Go ahead, Kim.
How about the PRA budget? I would imagine they have theirs ready.
I believe they do. But I know that Julia is focusing on critical areas, and she may not have been paying attention to that, to the extent that she's been paying attention to some of the other critical areas. So why don't we leave it to Julia to decide. Julia, do you have anything to add?
Sorry.
Don't worry.
Yeah, I will let you know in the next week or so.
Is that acceptable to you, Kim?
I don't care. It's just never mentioned, and that's probably the easiest budget we have to approve. So, I'm just saying, we could get that out of the way because it's easy. Anyways, I'm fine. Whatever, whatever.
I agree with what you're saying. It is easy, but what we possibly need to focus on is hard. But I do understand what you're saying. It would be something we could do, and we could check that box, but it's maybe we should be focusing on the hard stuff.
Well,
hey.
I'm not a, but we need to tee them up and know that I'm not going to be in a position to do it during a special meeting next week.
No, no, we're not. I'm not contemplating a special meeting next week. I know you're working on the financials. You're working on the audits. You're working on the CPB applications, possibilities. So, no, we don't expect you to do a special meeting next week. Okay, so we'll get some idea of where we're going in a week or so, and then we'll announce it and take it from there. So that brings us to adjournment. So we're actually over time, so
motion,
I think I'm...
Motion to adjourn.
Okay.
I have a request for information, and that is when is our next meeting? There's nothing on the calendar going forward.
Oh, yes. We should probably make a motion to have more meetings.
Yes.
I meant to mention that to people. Yes.
I always rely on our Paul doing that, so I didn't even notice.
We should go off the end of the world. do we want to do that right now? I mean, I can.
Well, we are over time. Let's say we want to have a motion to extend for five.
Sure.
When
right.
is our next meeting?
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing on the.
Hold
calendar.
On, hold on, Kim. Hold on.
Is
there any objection to extending for five? Thank you, Chris. Any objection? Hearing number extended for five. So let's talk about populating
okay.
the calendar for our meetings for the next year or so.
Okay.
At least the next month. Sorry.
We can do it either way. Do we want to just say the next meeting will be on, I'm looking at kpftx.org. Do we want to say the next meeting will be on April 12th? Or do we want to say it's going to be the second and fourth Tuesdays of every month going through March of 2023? Which motion do we want?
Isn't second and fourth
second.
What we've traditionally done?
Yes.
I like that.
I would propose that.
Okay.
Go ahead, Chris.
Yes.
I heard Chris.
I want the second one. Yeah, I want the second one.
Which is the second one? Second and fourth?
Yeah. I move. Can
I
can make a motion.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, R. Paul.
I move that the NFC meet on the second and fourth Tuesday of every month through March of 2023.
Is there anybody else who wants to be heard on that?
This is Kim.
Go ahead.
I can only suggest that if we need an extra meeting, we could do it the Monday before the 12th. I mean, the Tuesday before the 12th, because that 12th is 3 weeks from now. And I don't care, but, I mean, if we wanted to add, we can add, but I'm fine with just getting those meetings down.
I'll just respond, Kim, to say that we frequently have a three-week break because if we do two meetings a month, there's, periodically, or there's always a three-week interim. So, hello? Kim? Okay. We generally have a three-week interim when we schedule the second and fourth. So that's understood. And if we have business we're ready to conduct, we can always schedule a special meeting. I think at this point in time, again, we have the financials, we have the CPB applications, and we have the audits that need our CFO's attention. So I think a three-week interim at this point would be okay, even though we could have, we could have a toss-off and do an easy budget. I think it's better to do the essential things, the critical things, and not worry about, the fiscal year began on such and such a date, and we haven't done this budget or that budget yet. That's not really what we're about. We're about trying to get a realistic grip on where we are as a foundation, as a whole, financially speaking.
This is Beth.
Go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. I would just like to say I think we ought to grant Julia at least that little bit of slack. She's earned that and more. I'm in awe of everything she gets done. And a little worried about how hard she's pushing herself. So 3 weeks between now and the next meeting sounds just fine to me. Thank you.
Anyone else?
Amen.
Anyone else other than the choir? Okay, hearing none, I'm going to declare this meeting adjourned, and thank
well,
you all
gotta,
very much.
You got to ask if there's any objection to meeting
I'm so
on the
sorry.
Second and fourth.
Thank you, Arpal. Is there any objection to the second and fourth? Hearing none, I will now declare the meeting. Well, first I will thank the people from KPFT, Markeisha, Ben Sampson, Dr. Robert, Dr. Robert, help me, somebody.
Franklin.
Thank you so
Franklin.
Much. I'm so sorry. Thank you, Julia Kennard. Thank you, Stephanie Wells. And thank you, Fred Blair, for streaming. Thank you, everyone. Arpal, as our secretary, thanks to everyone. We'll see you in 3 weeks.
Good night.
Thanks, all. Good night.
Good night, all. Good night.
Good night.